Welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. Today is March 27th, 2020, and we are currently in the midst of coronavirus quarantine here in the state of Illinois. So how is everyone out there? Are y'all washing your hands? If you haven't for a little bit, hit the pause button and you can go do that. Well, like many of you, I'm washing my hands, I'm using my thieves, I'm trying to make my toilet paper and my Clorox products last so that my house stays disinfected while sheltering in place. Today, I'm recording in the voiceover room at our territorial headquarters in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, where it is eerily empty. So no worries that I'm practicing good social distancing. There's no one here to socialize with, so I'm good to go. What an interesting time we're in. During this time, you may be feeling a little anxious, a little overwhelmed, frustrated, or maybe you're even scared. We're constantly being bombarded with doom and gloom on our TV and in our social media news feeds. So to get our mind on other things, I wanted to send some sunshine your way and share with you this podcast with my best friend, Jill Snelson. Jill is a mom who homeschools her two children with special needs. She is also a wife, a volunteer, an advocate, a singer, an employee, and a soldier of the Salvation Army. And above all else, she is a servant of Christ. Today, Jill shares her story of raising her two children with autism, including homeschooling them and advocating for them by seeking out the best possible curriculum, therapies, and counseling to meet their immediate needs. She is one of the brightest spots in my life, and I know you will enjoy hearing from her today. Here's my conversation with Jill. Hi, Jill. Welcome to our podcast.
Hey, Heather. Thanks for having me.
And you and I are practicing good social distancing because it's how many miles from Atlanta to Chicago?
Too many. 750.
Okay.
I think from my house, like my driveway to your driveway is like 769 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. That's still too many. That's too many for our sanity, but it's good for Corona.
I mean, yeah, good for Corona, but
bad for us.
Very bad for us.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you. I appreciate that you're able to take a minute out of your busy day and busy life to talk to us today. So I can't wait for you to share your story. But before we do that, I just want to let our listeners know who you are. So if you could introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you're from, your family.
Okay. Well, I'm Jill, and I am from Atlanta. I've lived in Atlanta for the vast majority of my life. I am married to my husband, Robert. We've been married for 15 years in September.
What does Robert do?
Robert is the Territorial Music Education Director for the Southern Territory. So
Salvation Army.
He works in the music department. Mm-hmm. I have two kids. Abby is 12 and Isaac is 10. I homeschool them. I have homeschooled them from the very beginning. They've never been to school. Abby went to a preschool when I was pregnant with Isaac because I had a very high risk pregnancy with him and spent 3 months on bed rest. So I had to find a place for her. But other than that, they've never been to school and they spend their days with me,
okay.
Which is great fun.
Yeah. Most of the time.
Most of the time. There are some days that are not as fun as others, but most of the time it's good.
Yeah. And you soldier at the Atlanta Temple Corps, is that correct?
Yes, I am in the band and songsters there. I am also on staff there as a part-time employee working with the youth, actually working with Kayla Hedgren.
We know Kayla.
So, yeah, I love Kayla.
We do too.
Kayla is pretty amazing.
Awesome. Okay, so I think maybe too, I just want to tell our listeners who you are to me.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So Jill is my best friend. We met 4 years ago while we were living in Florida. I joined the Southern Territorial Songsters, and we met through that group. And then over the course of those, like, next 2 years, we really got to know one another. And we just had realized that our friendship went beyond normal, everyday friends.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
like, you are my soul sister. Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something different about the friendship that you and I have that I think is deeper than what most friendships nowadays are. I think I think our friendship is what friendships are supposed to be.
Yeah.
But we don't have anymore.
Absolutely. And we have more friends in our circle, but they will even say, I don't get you guys.
Yeah. They will. They don't quite understand.
Because you and I can look at each other and know what the other person is thinking.
It's true. It's kind of scary sometimes.
Yeah.
But even, and that has stayed the same. Like, we've never lived in the same city.
Mm-mm. And we've only been friends really for 4 years. Like, that is what is so crazy to me.
Yeah, it feels like forever.
Yeah, I feel like we should have been friends since birth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think Soul Sisters is probably the best description of it, because that is, I think, what we have. And I feel bad for people who don't have it.
I know. They're missing out. They're totally missing out. So as I mentioned before in my intro, you are a mom of two and you homeschool your kids, and your kids mm-hmm. have special needs. And so I just want to talk a little bit about Abby and Isaac right now.
Okay.
How did you first discover, let's start with Abby. How did you first discover that Abby had autism?
So Abby was the first one that we figured it out with. Abby has always been different, literally from before she was born. Abby was born at 30 weeks. I went into labor with her at 24 weeks and was put on strict bed rest from that point. And so being born that early, we knew that there was probably going to be some things that we had to deal with. But in reality, like, what actually happened with her was she was perfectly healthy when she was born. She stayed in the NICU for 33 days, basically because she needed to grow.
Hmm.
But she, like, neurologically, everything was healthy. Physically, everything was healthy. Until she got to be about 18 months old, that's when we first started noticing some things that were a little bit different about her. She started to be able to read.
At 18 months.
At about 18 months.
Wow.
Yeah. She was able to start putting letters together and tell me what the words were. And I didn't really think much about it. I just kind of went along the whole idea of, oh, look, we read to her so much. She's picking things up. But then when she was about three, she started reading for comprehension, and she was able to tell me what she was reading and what it meant. And that I kind of was like, well, that's weird. But again, I just sort of pushed it out of my head. She was my first kid. Everybody thinks their kid's a genius. And but then when she turned about 4.5, 5, she started really struggling with sleep. She'd never been a good sleeper, but here at this point, she really started struggling with sleep, and she started having terrible dreams. If she was sleeping, there were many, many nights that she just didn't even sleep at all. And her behavior started to get kind of wonky. She started to become very verbally aggressive and physically aggressive. By this point, her brother was born, and she would start to be physically aggressive with him. And it started, you know, at first, again, you know, you never think that there's anything going on with your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think much of it. But then I figured it was just sort of sibling rivalry stuff.
Yeah.
But the further in we got, the worse it got. And I started really wondering if there was something going on with her. And so I talked to Robert about it, and he wasn't sure. So I called a friend of ours who is a psychologist, a child psychologist. And I said, you know, I know you can't help me with this because it's conflict of interest, but can you at least tell me if I'm on the right track? Do I need to pursue this or not? So I told him, you know, what my concerns were, and he said, you definitely need to pursue this. And we ended up going to see a psychologist that he recommended. She put us in touch with an occupational therapist and told us that she thinks that Abby has sensory processing disorder and autism.
Wow.
And at that point, I was okay with the sensory processing, but I was not okay with the autism. There was no way anybody was going to tell me that my child was autistic. So we went and had the occupational evaluation, and she definitely had a lot of things in her body that were off. And they also said that they thought she had autism.
Wow.
And it wasn't until that point that I really started to, okay, maybe I should look at this. And so we got her official diagnosis when she was 5.5. And since then, it has been a bit of a roller coaster on figuring out how to do life with an autistic kid.
Yeah.
But then I had another child.
Right.
And Abby was about 28 months old when Isaac was born. And again, I had a very complicated pregnancy with him. He was also showing some signs when he was little. Mm-hmm. A lot of them were very similar to what his sister was showing. And so I kind of had an idea of what to look for at that point. So he also got his diagnosis at 5, but he has other diagnoses in addition to his autism. Mm-hmm. So while Abby only has autism and sensory processing disorder, Isaac has autism, sensory processing disorder, anxiety, severe ADHD, and dysgraphia.
Wow.
So we've got quite a few.
Tell us what dysgraphia is for those who don't know what that is.
So dysgraphia is a disorder that is language in nature. It's where you have trouble writing. It's both the physical act of writing, but also writing and getting your words on paper.
Okay.
So Isaac has a very hard time with language in mm-hmm. general, and he can't tell me well how he's feeling, like mm-hmm. emotion words and things like that. So getting those thoughts and things on paper is very difficult for him, but also just writing. So in our school time, I scribe for him a lot. I do a lot of writing for him, and he tells me what to write, mm-hmm. or he will type. He does like to type things out.
So let's just talk for a minute about Isaac and some of the other things that you're doing to help him succeed in life. You just mm-hmm. talked about writing for him. So let's talk for a minute about our friend Sherry Daniels.
I love Sherry.
I know. I do too. Sherry, we know her in the Salvation Army in the South. She is the bandmaster at the Orlando Citadel Corps in Florida. Mm-hmm. She is our friend. And we went to TMI, which is Territorial Music Institute in the South. And how did you guys meet through that?
So our other friend, Heather, and I were going to Walmart to actually get gifts for you, because I hadn't seen you in a couple of months, and it's just a thing that I do. So Heather and I were going to Walmart before camp started, and nobody was there yet, and we saw Sherry walking in, so we just invited her along. Now, at that point, I had never had a conversation with Sherry mm-hmm. in my life, but nobody else was there, and it was boring, and I'm very come one, come all, and so we just invited Sherry to come with us, and she came. And at that point, I had just gotten an evaluation from a speech and language pathologist in Atlanta. And I was very unhappy with this particular speech and language pathologist. I didn't feel like she was really listening to me or to Isaac. But I got her evaluation results back, and I was telling our other friend, Heather, about them. Mm-hmm. And Sherry was in the car. And at the end of the whole conversation, Sherry was like, "Well, you know what I do, right?" And I just kind of looked at her. I was like, "You're the bandmaster. Like, what does this have to do with anything?"
Right.
And she said, "Well, I'm a speech and language pathologist in the public school system in Florida." And my jaw hit the floor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that's fantastic. Would you mind reading this?" And from there, she developed a relationship with Isaac over the next 10 days while we were at camp. And he just bonded with her in a mm-hmm. way that I've never seen him bond with somebody ever.
Yeah. She's good at what she does.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
She is amazing. And she had told me that she was interested in teletherapy, and I had said that I would love to do it. So we did a trial run of it to see how it would go, and we set up a system in place, and they've been doing that almost every week without fail for the past year and a half.
That's amazing.
It really is. It works, because speech therapy for Isaac is very uncomfortable. Because it's not speech and how you form words. It's speech and language. So right. It's doing things with language that he is very uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
And Sherry pushes him, but she's able to, because doing it over the phone or over FaceTime takes out that personal, mm-hmm. like, I'm in the same room with a real person. So it makes him a lot more comfortable to be able to open up and be vulnerable to her. She is just amazing. Like, I really cannot say enough mm-hmm. about her. And then through that, she and I have become really good friends.
I know, that's amazing too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, the whole thing was a God thing.
It was a God thing, totally. So at that same TMI, Isaac had like a major meltdown. Mm-hmm. And you had asked me to come over. And so I did that. I walked in the door and you were just like, "Welcome to my world. This is how it is with Isaac." Mm-hmm. And then fast forward a year later, Every time I saw Isaac again, he was different. He was communicating better, and he was talking about his feelings. I had never heard him do that before.
Yeah.
His meltdowns weren't as often as they were.
And they weren't as intense.
Right. And you said, this is Sherry. This is all Sherry.
Yeah.
Their relationship and what Sherry was doing with him on a weekly basis was literally changing him, changing how he processes, changing how he communicates. Mm-hmm. I totally believe in speech therapy because I've seen it work.
Yeah.
He is a different kid.
Yes, it's true. And the thing with speech therapy, I never considered that for him because I always thought speech therapy was like where you're trying to teach the children how to talk and actually form words. I never knew that it was speech and language therapy until all of this happened. And so the whole thing with Sherry coming into our lives has been a complete God moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has changed him and taught him and taught me.
Oh, yeah.
So much about not only just about language and stuff, but about who he is. And he's learning more about who he is because he's able to express himself in more appropriate ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All because of what Sherry is doing with him. Sherry's amazing.
So shout out to Sherry and shout out to speech therapy.
Woo, woo.
It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so just within the last year and a half, you also discovered that Isaac has some emotional issues like anxiety. So Isaac goes to several therapies. He does speech therapy with Sherry. He does occupational therapy, and he does regular counseling. Is that correct?
Yes.
You want to just talk about that?
Yeah, so Isaac does speech therapy once a week with Sherry. He does occupational therapy twice a week. And before the world ended with the coronavirus, he was doing that at an occupational gym in Atlanta twice a week for an hour each. And then he also does counseling. And this was the hardest thing for me because I wanted to make sure that whoever was doing psychotherapy with him and counseling with him was going to be somebody that I could trust to help form his thought processes and you know, how what he's trying to get out in a healthy way. So we went to one person and it was abysmal. It was so bad. And this is also, let me just say this, as a homeschooler, at least in Georgia, I do have the right to go and get services through the public school system for free.
Okay.
I choose to not do that with either of my children because that takes the control out of my hands and I don't have control over who their therapist would be or what time it would be or what they're doing.
Right.
So by doing it privately, I have that control as a parent for what I want for my kids. So because this therapist was just so bad and Isaac hated going and there's no sense in going if he's going to sit there and not do anything.
Right.
So that didn't last very long. But then I found another therapist who actually has an office in his OT gym. And she is amazing. She's a 2-time American Ninja Warrior.
That's so cool.
Now, Isaac is nothing but movement.
Mm-hmm.
He is perpetual motion.
Yep.
He is very high energy, very, very high intensity. And he is climbing on everything. And there's reasons for that that I understand, but the whole American Ninja Warrior thing in his mind is huge. And so to be able to talk to somebody who has a gym set up in her office with
That's
a so climbing
awesome.
Wall
yeah.
and a climbing rope that he can climb up and one of those punch spin bag things, speed bags, a tight rope so he can walk across, like all these things. I don't think they've ever made eye contact because
wow.
He's in her office moving all the time, but they can get so much accomplished that way because she understands the need for his body to move.
Yep.
And she gives him challenges to do while they're talking so that he can open up and be more vulnerable while he's moving. And it's just amazing. And again, I think this is one of those things that the Lord has led me to be able to give my children what they need when they need it. And the other cool thing about this particular therapist is she will overlap her counseling sessions with his OT sessions.
Cool.
Because they're in the same office building, they can work together. And so he does that.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
Well, I have been on part of this journey with you, at least in the last couple of years. And so I have seen a marked difference in him since you have sought out some of these additional therapies. And I just think that it's really cool. You're doing everything that you possibly can to figure out how to help your kid, how to help him succeed in life.
Yeah.
How does Isaac own who he is as a person with all of those things, because they are a part of him and they are not going away. It's not like it's a magic potion and it's just going to disappear. But now he knows how to function, how to live life. And he's still little. I mean, he's only 10. So, I mean, he still has a long life to live and a long way to go. And these things are going to change as he grows, as he, you know, becomes more mature. But you're on this step-by-step process, and I've seen it. I've watched it from a distance. And, I mean, I got to give you some credit, because here you are advocating for your kids and what they do, and it's moving.
Well, I think that this is our job as parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think no matter what, I think every child comes with their own challenges. And just because mine have the autism label doesn't mean that that's harder or easier than the next person.
True.
I think that each child comes with their own challenges, and our job as parents is to mold them to be more like Christ. And in order to do that, you have to give them the tools to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And that's going to look different for each kid. I mean, it looks different for both of my kids, even though they both have the autism label or whatever, you know. What I'm doing isn't anything more than what you do with Taryn and Troy. I think that it's just what we have been given in our family. And so that's what we do. We're also very open with our kids about their diagnosis and about what they struggle with, because they need to know. This is part of what makes them them.
Right.
And it's not bad.
Right.
It's just a part of who they are, and we work with it.
That's awesome. Okay, I want to go back and I want to revisit the homeschooling part of your life, because you've been homeschooling.
The biggest part?
Yeah, it is. Well, that's what you have done. I mean, you said, I have been home with my children since they were born. And so you haven't, up until just recently, you haven't had a job since your children were born, or actually even before that. So let's just talk for a minute about your homeschooling.
Okay.
What does a day of homeschooling look like for you guys, for your family?
I don't think that there really is a day that looks the same as another. Okay. I'm really big on routines instead of schedules, because schedules are just going to make me feel like a failure in the first 5 minutes. So I don't do a schedule like, you know, 9 o'clock this, 9:15 this, you know, 10 o'clock this. I don't do that. But we do have a routine that the kids know. So in the morning, I'm not a morning person. I'm not one of the awesome moms that gets up and cooks breakfast for her kids. My kids get up and get their own breakfast.
Hey, you know what? Empowerment is a great thing.
It's life skills, people. So they get up and get their own breakfast. They're generally doing that while I'm getting up and kind of waking up for the day and getting showered and whatnot. And then we come down and we start our school day. My children are so very different in almost everything, but one of the biggest ways that you can see it is in school. So Abby she has an IQ of about 140, and she is 12.
Wow.
But she is working on high school work because that's where her mind is academically. Now, emotionally, that's not where she is, but academically, she is definitely way ahead of her age. And she's very much a self-motivator, a self-starter.
Mm-hmm.
She's very good with school, and she wants to just do her work on her own. So I don't really do a lot with her during the school day, which honestly sometimes makes me feel extremely guilty, but it's how she wants it.
Yeah.
And she's thriving there, so I'm okay with it for now. But she gets her work done. I give her her week's worth of work, and she does it. Isaac is the very opposite end of that, and needs me to be right next to him almost 100% of the time. And just, again, I think this is one of the ways that God provides, because if both of my children needed me to be right next to them 100% of the time, it would be infinitely harder to do this.
Oh, yeah.
So most of my school days is spent with Isaac. We do, right now we're doing a curriculum called Gather Around Homeschool.
Okay.
It is amazing. It's a Christian worldview, and it's unit study based, which I've never done before, but we're both loving it. So we just finished Europe, and so we went through 20 different countries in Europe, And then this week we started space. So everything is, all of our subjects except for math are based around the one topic.
Okay.
And it's awesome. I would highly encourage anybody, even if you're not a homeschooler, mm-hmm. it's amazing to sit down and do for fun. And it's not very expensive. So we do that. And I work with him. We have like a lesson time, I guess. And then he has a notebook that he works through, going over the stuff that we talked about in the lesson and going a little bit deeper on his level. I try to get him to do as much of that independently as possible. But again, he is very much at the stage where he still needs a lot of handholding. After that, we do math, which is a dreaded subject here for him. Mm-hmm. And then we're getting to the point where he can start doing some chapter books on his own. And he's doing very well with that. He earns electronic time by reading chapters.
Nice.
For every chapter of a book that he's supposed to read, he gets 30 minutes of electronic time. So that's a high motivator for him. Mm-hmm. And then after school, it's usually around lunchtime that we're finished. And we have lunch. The kids get started on their chores. After that, they have free time. And that's the thing that I love about homeschool is they have a lot of time to pursue their own interests. Mm-hmm. Like right now, Abby is playing the piano and she teaches herself to play the piano.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So in addition to like curriculum, I know that you also do like hands-on learning. You're constantly thinking about how can I get them out of the house? How can I make this part of their learning? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you take them on field trips. Tell us a little bit about when you took them downtown to the courthouse.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So this was a couple weeks ago. In another life, my dream is to be a midwife.
And
I used to have my own childbirth education and labor doula business. And I've been to tons and tons of births. So I have a place in my heart for the birth community. And in Georgia right now, home birth midwives are actually illegal. And so a couple of the midwives that I know that I've worked with in the past were writing a bill that they want to push to become a law about licensing certified professional mm-hmm. midwives here in Georgia. And it's a really cool thing. It's difficult. And one of them texted me one morning and said, hey, we have a last minute hearing at the legislation house. If you could come, that would be fantastic. And so well, my first question is, well, can kids come? Because
yeah, right.
I have my kids with me. And she said, yes. And mm-hmm. so I immediately threw everything that we were supposed to do for that day out and said, okay, we're going down to the legislation house to watch this. And so I took that opportunity to teach them how a bill becomes a law.
Nice.
And of course we watched Schoolhouse Rock and yes. Just talk about the whole process and how it can start with anybody, normal people. Mm-hmm. And it was just really cool to be able to show them firsthand. And because they know some of the people that I know in the birth community, they knew some of the people up there. And so they were watching that. And it was just really neat to be able to show them firsthand how our government works. So we talked about the three branches of government. And
that's awesome.
That's what true homeschooling is like. It's taking advantage of these times. You do not have to be in a desk. You do not have to be sitting at home working on worksheets and whatnot. And what's cool is now they can still tell you what they saw down there.
Right.
And it was experienced. It wasn't, they didn't read about it. It was experienced. And,
right.
And I think that's really what I try to do is give my children experiences.
Right.
So that they can really dive into whatever it is that they're learning. Mm-hmm. So
I've seen you turn things into learning just on a whim.
Well, yeah. So I guess it was Tuesday. We were talking about the stock market and how it's dropped because of all this corona stuff. And one of them said, well, what's the stock market? So now we've given both of them $20 to pick a stock and
that's
we're going to
awesome.
Watch what happens. And we're going to do a stock simulator. And, you know, because now is a good time to buy.
Right.
Not necessarily to sell. But if
right.
you hold it, you know, you're going to make a profit off of it once all this stuff turns around. So those kinds of things are what makes life and homeschooling fun because it's real life experiences that they need to know. So,
yeah. So I know, like you said, every day for you is different.
Yeah.
Some days go by just fine. And other days
do
I
not.
Get a phone call from you.
Yes.
and you are ready to walk away from the whole thing and just call it quits. And there are ups and downs to this. And no, like you said, no day is the same. Some days are really, really hard.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to someone who is homeschooling right now and they're in that place, the dark place that sometimes you can go to and it's just frustrating? And
I know that place all too well. I think that this is, homeschooling is such a controversial thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it turns into an us and them kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that homeschool is for everybody. I think that homeschooling needs to be a calling that the Lord has placed on your life. And the Lord doesn't call everyone to everything.
It's true.
So the first thing that I would say is, if you are considering homeschooling or your kids are asking you to homeschool or whatever, the first thing I would say is, seek the Lord. Is this what He is wanting for your family? Because if it's not going to work.
Right.
And there are many days where I question that calling because it's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I am always reminded by the Lord or by my husband. And I think the biggest is my husband. He's done a complete 180. He was not okay with homeschooling in the beginning. He only wanted Abby to homeschool through third grade, and then he wanted her to go to public school. But since that time, he has completely turned around, and he's the one that reminds me.
Yeah.
No, this is what our family was called to do. And it is very much a family thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if this is something that you're considering, the first thing I would say is seek the Lord. And if He is calling you to do it, then He will give you the strength to do it. Because, you know, as we've heard, He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
That's right.
Beyond that, I would say get an idea of different learning and learning philosophies, teaching philosophies, the different types that are out there, and what resonates most with you. Because if you're going to try and recreate public school at home, you're going to be very frustrated.
Yeah.
There's no way that we can do that.
Right.
So familiarize yourself with the different philosophies that are out there and see what resonates most with you. And your kids will fall in line with whatever you do with them.
Yeah.
It's okay to ditch a curriculum halfway through the semester.
Yep.
That's
mm-hmm.
perfectly okay. I do that frequently.
Mm-hmm.
It drives Robert crazy. But if something's not working, it is okay to ditch it and start something else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess I have a lot of stuff to say about that.
Yeah. Well, and two, you don't isolate.
No.
Like, you are not isolated. You don't cut yourself off from other homeschooling parents or other parents that have kids with special needs. Like, you have a community around you that you're a big part of. And I feel like you guys can speak into one another because you're all going through the same thing. And it's important to surround yourself with community.
It is, but your community doesn't have to be homeschool community. Like you said earlier, you are my first call.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you're my first call for everything, but especially when something is going wrong and I am just in that place of doom, gloom, despair, agony on me kind of stuff. And you don't understand homeschool. You don't do it, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You understand me.
Right.
And you understand my kids.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you do need to surround yourself with people who will support you, whether that is other homeschoolers or that's people in your life who do support you. That is absolutely, you have to have that, because it can be a very isolating experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, my kids are involved in a lot of stuff.
They are.
We are not isolated socially at all.
Oh, no. No, like Abby isn't. Tell us what Abby does.
So outside of the core activities that we do, Abby does praise band at the core on Wednesday night. She loves it. She also does music programs on Sunday afternoons at the core. But her very, very favorite thing is her choir. It's called the Gwinnett Young Singers. It's here in Atlanta. It's an amazing community choir that has been around for about 30 years. And they sing with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. And Abby lives for Tuesday nights when she can go to rehearsal. She thrives in it.
Yeah.
It's amazing music instruction. But, and just to like bring it back around, that is on her transcript because I have started her high school transcript.
Right.
That is on her transcript as music education as well as extracurricular. So we literally use everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isaac, he has done Taekwondo in the past.
Yep.
And he has loved that. Isaac does not do things that are core just because he has a hard time socially with some things, and so I don't force him to do that, but he lives for play dates with his best friend. Mm-hmm. So right now this is difficult for him because he can't. He loves game nights that we host at our house. So we do a lot of things, and our kids are very, very socialized.
Yep.
So yeah. One of the things that has really stuck out to me is, so I started at the beginning of March reading chronologically through the Bible. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has come up a couple of times, it was when I was reading about Adam and Eve, but also when I was reading about Rachel mm-hmm. and all of these different moms through scripture. Mm-hmm. One of the things that has really stuck out to me is, as parents, we're only called to give our best.
Yeah.
The Lord will fill in the other gaps. And I think whether you're a homeschooler, a public schooler, a private schooler, of whatever, as parents, our first and foremost calling is to lead our children to Christ.
Yeah.
And as long as we're doing our best to do that in whatever way that looks in our mm-hmm. family, that's all that he requires of us. And he's going to fill in the gaps that we will miss because we're human.
Right.
And I think that that's something that keeps me going on the days where it's just so dark. Because mm-hmm. the enemy can prey on my insecurities.
Oh, yeah.
And he will, and he does. But the truth is that this is not my fight. This isn't me. This is the Lord working through me to reach my children.
Yeah.
And that is what I strive to do. I'm not always the best at it. I fail every day.
No, but it motivates you.
But that's my motivation. Yeah. So at some point, whether or not you homeschool, at some point you just have to get to the point where you can say, okay, Lord, this isn't my gig. Mm-hmm. This is your gig, and whatever you want to do through me is what we'll do.
Yeah.
And then you go from there.
That's awesome. Yep. Well, Jill, I love you.
I love you.
And thank you so much for talking to us today. You might think that what you do is just your everyday, mm-hmm. but for listeners out there, they're going to find some good tools and some good tips and things that you've already talked about, maybe for homeschooling, maybe for they have children with special needs in some way, how they can step into the gap for their kids in whatever situation that they have.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I hope somebody, at least somebody, can take something away and feel encouraged in their parenting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for talking to me.
Yeah.
I'll take any excuse to talk to you.
All right. I'll probably call you on the way home.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks, Jill. Thanks so much, Jill, for joining us today. I can't tell you how great it is just to talk to you, especially during this time when we can't see one another. Since knowing you, you've changed my life for the better. And I'm grateful for your friendship, and I'm grateful for the example that you set for me and for those around you. You would hate it if I called you Supermom, but there are days when I literally marvel at what you do on a day-to-day basis. So thanks for that. Thanks for setting that example. Thanks for inspiring us. I know our listeners have gained knowledge and inspiration from what you've shared with us today. Thanks for listening today. I hope that this podcast has left you prepared and equipped for tomorrow. I'm sure you've gained some wisdom and maybe even some great tips on how to homeschool your kids, or how to, even during this time of being forced to be homeschoolers, some ideas on how to make that go a little more smoothly. I just want you all to know that I'm praying for you wherever you are. We serve a God who is bigger than what's going on in our world. But Jesus did tell us in John, we can still have peace even in the middle of a storm. He did say, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. God bless you today.